are we living a life that honors God? Or do I think I have plenty of time to get right with God and plenty of time just to live however I want? Right? Do I want to live differently? Right? It's a sobering aspect of what's happening. And we don't know the time when we meet Jesus in the air. Right? And I think God in His grace gives us, reveals things, but we need to be praying for Israel. We need to be praying for those innocent people that are being killed on both sides. You see how much hatred there is towards Israel. Tons. And there's going to be more to come. In Egypt yesterday, a soldier killed 4 Israeli people. And so you look at what's happening. So you see, even to say, how are we thankful? Are we thankful? It's kind of hard when we see what's happening. Are we thankful? Am I thankful for where I'm at? Am I thankful to God for where He has me, for what He's doing in my life, how He's changing my heart? Because as we read in, I've been doing Romans, right? Romans 1. And Paul in Romans 8 starts talking about how he talks about his thankfulness. And he's praising God for people. He's praising of all aspects. Are we thankful for the gospel? What's that? So is the gospel, is it our everything? Is the gospel everything to us? Because it reveals how we should live, how we walk in obedience, how to love, how to grow in faith, how to be in reliance to the Word of God, relying on God, on Jesus, trusting and relying on the Holy Spirit to transform our very life. Are we thankful that God is at work in our lives? Do we know that God's in control? You know what? Let's read John 15. I don't have one. Somebody can read John 15. 1-5. Eric? John 15, 1-5. You know, as we read John 15, 1-5, it's that God desires us to grow in godly character. To put off language, to put off wrong attitudes, to put off wrongful thinking, just wrong behaviors, right? And He wants us, and as we grow in godly character, we start to honor our Heavenly Father. and more of his fruit is being exhibited in his in our lives. So as we read John 15, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, 15, 1 to 5.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Yeah. Amen. How many of us have branches that need to be cut out? Right? We all have branches that need to be cut out in our lives. And it says really why God cuts those things out in our lives. As we walk through this life, we realize how ungodly we are. Like sometimes it's like, why would I do certain things like that? Why would I have this attitude? But it's actually God revealing to you how much you need to rely on Him to transform your life so it would come into alignment to the accordance of the Word of God. Right? So we realize that without Christ and without the work of the Holy Spirit pruning the garbage in our lives, and God reveals the garbage in our lives. He reveals the things, the wrongful thoughts, the attitudes, behaviors, how we react to things. He reveals those things so that He gets the glory. We can't change ourselves. How many times do we try to rely on ourselves to change it? We do it in our own strength at times. So I could pull up my bootstraps. I could change this. I could do this. How many of us have even said that? I got this. I don't need you, Lord. I could do it. But it's like, Lord, you are revealing this in my life. Lord, I know I'm going to surrender this to you. It's a weakness in my life. Lord, change this bad habit. And I want to work with you by surrendering to you and applying your word to my life. Right? We need to apply the word of God to our life, to allow His word to penetrate our very hearts, to change our lives. So it's the Holy Spirit working in you, transforming you, as you yield to the Holy Spirit, to trust Him and to rely on Him to do the work. Right? It's Him that does the work in you. And to have to say that I am, God reveals things. And what do I do when He reveals things in my life? Do I allow Him? Do I confess them to Him? Do I say, Lord, I don't want to operate this way any longer? Lord, I want you to prune this out of my life. And because it says, then you will produce more fruit. Whose fruit are we producing? God's fruit. So that we produce more of Him. That He be revealed more in our lives. And it says, we have to abide in the vine. And to abide in Him is that we need to rely on him. That the gospel is our very foundation, our very life that we recognize that we need. It's making sense. See the difference between me trying to do it or surrendering and allow God to work in your life as you abide in him to apply the word of God? It's not like, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you and not do anything. He says, no, apply what I'm teaching you. Then allow me to work in your life. Not everything's from Satan. Everything's not a demonic attack. Maybe God's trying to get our attention. Say, you know what? Maybe you should deal with this in your life. I have something better for you. You can grow from this. But only I can change you from within. Are you going to rely on me today? Are you going to allow me to prune these things out of your life? Are you going to trust me? So there is a difference between what the gospel requires and what the gospel produces. So what does the gospel require? It requires repentance. It requires faith in Jesus Christ alone. So what does the gospel produce? What does the gospel produce? Fruit. You read it. God's fruit is produced in our lives so that we're able to, the Spirit, right? We can love other people. We can pray for other people. We can have joy and hope, peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? That is produced in us, and that's the fruit, and that only comes from God. The gospel produces obedience. Is the fruit of the Spirit being produced in you for having obedience to what the Word of God says? Am I being a doer of the Word of God? Do I just hear the Word of God and not really become a doer of the Word of God? So applying what is being said. The gospel produces, it transforms your hearts. There's transformation. So as we trust, rely, depend on the Lord, he transforms your hearts. So if we try to do it on our own, oh, I got this. I could do this. Right? What happens? Misery sets in. Disappointment sets in. Well, it must be Satan. I must be under attack. We have all these things that we have a list of. Instead of other than saying that, Lord, I'm thankful right now that you're revealing things in my life that need to be dealt with. Lord, I truly surrender this to you. Lord, I truly desire for you to produce your fruit in my life so that I can be who you want me to be, to be more like Christ. And then the fruit of the gospel is reliance on Jesus rather than yourself. That's pretty good, eh? Reliance on the Lord rather than ourselves. Because we have abilities. We're capable of doing it on our own. But a lot of times we get frustrated and say, God, where are you at in this? He says, well, you left me like 6 months ago. You said you got this. And then we get all frustrated and it's like, oh, devil, get behind me. You're doing this or doing that. Meanwhile, it's God trying to draw you closer to him and trying to reveal things in your life to surrender to him, to trust in him, to rely on him, to be dependent on him. So that he can produce his fruit in your life. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. It's amazing how easily we obey when we're in the presence of other people. It's easy to obey or to be saying that I follow the Lord, right? When we're in a group, a setting of that, or if we live in a community, it's easier to live that. But it's a different thing when we go home. Do I obey? Right? We don't always. We fall short on that. But now, but it says not as in my presence only, but now how much more in my absence? Are we in his absence? Are we desiring to grow in godly character? Do I desire to grow in allow God's fruit to be produced in my life? Verse 13 says, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you and to do for his good pleasure. Surrenderness to the Lord, dependence on the Lord, relying on the Lord. Right? Dying to self. Doing this even in the absence of others. So that you're, you know what I'm saying? To do it even at home. Say, Lord, I really desire to grow deeper with you. I really desire that your fruit will be produced in me. So that I become more like Christ. He doesn't want, God reveals things. The Father is the vine dresser. He carefully cuts off branches that need to be trimmed. He doesn't take too much off. Right? He takes off just enough. And as he prunes, he's wanting to allow more of that sap to go to the fruit so that it produces more instead of being sucked up by unfruitful things in our lives. He doesn't want us to be doing things on our own, but he wants to get rid of things in our lives so that we become more like him. You think about Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, people looked at his fruit. They seen how in the beginning he went, killed, persecuted Christians, martyred them. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he yielded to the Lord. Then he asked, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? And he was blinded, was taken away. And then in Acts, it talks about how the people in Jerusalem didn't believe in Damascus. He didn't believe he was transformed until he seen actually the fruit of how his life was transformed. And his love for the people was changed. And his passion for the Lord was in alignment to the gospel. The fruit, people seeing the true fruit of Christ being manifest through his life. So as we look at Paul, we see how the gospel, when rightly applied, produces a life in the believer. How he was totally transformed. And we see how the fruit of Christ is manifested in his life. God totally changed his heart. when we understand the gospel correctly and the difference of what the gospel requires and what it produces, I think we will understand more of the gospel. So what does the gospel require? Repentance and reliance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it requires. It doesn't require you to pull up your bootstraps. It produces obedience. It produces reliance, dependency. Saying, Lord, I want you to produce your fruit in my life. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to surrender this thing in my life to you today wholeheartedly. And I'm not going to want to pick it up again. But Lord, let me to do what I, let my life reflect you, even at home when nobody else is looking. Let my actions come and my behavior be changed, even when nobody else is around. Because God is with you. Even though you're all alone, he's still with you. You're never alone. He knows what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. So are we going to trust him and say, Lord, even when I'm alone with you, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Help me to have ears to hear your voice. Help me to apply what you're speaking. Help me to lay down what you're speaking. When we recognize and praise God for what he has produced in us by the gospel, we can praise him. Do I praise God even in when I'm going through difficult times? Do I praise him even when I blew it? Lord, thank you that you showed me how deceitful my heart is without you. Lord, I thank you that you're showing me that I don't really trust you in this area. We're supposed to praise him in all things. Lord, I desire to be more reliant on you, more dependent on you. I really want to trust you. So his living word creates in us a deeper dependence on our Lord. And sometimes our habits, our behaviors in our life have not been fully yielded or saturated by the word of God. That's why we still do it. It's not because of anything else. We have a sinful nature. We have an old nature. The Word of God says that we need to put off the old and put on the new. Do we desire to put off the old? To truly put on the new? So that we be full, when I put on the new, I desire to be fully yielded to the Lord. And to be saturated in the Word of God. And to come more in alignment to what his word says. That we can praise him for what he has done. That we can praise him continually for what he's doing currently in our lives. This is why we can praise him. I praise you, Lord, that you have not given up on me. I praise you, Lord, that you're still working in my life. Even though at times, Lord, I'm a donkey and I do things that do not honor you. Lord, I thank you that you haven't given up on me. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to me when I'm not faithful to you. See the difference between how the expectations, what the gospel wants us to do and the fruit of it? I can only be praiseworthy to God because of the fruit. He's been doing it, the work in my life. It's producing transformation life, life giving. My life is transformed. I see things differently. I can praise and Lord, thank you that you are working in my life. Even though maybe today I don't feel like you are, but I know by your word, you say that you continue working my life. You're always working. He's always working in you. So why don't we thank God and praise him for what he's doing, and even for the things that we do not see him doing. To grow, and it produces, the fruit of the gospel produces sanctification. The word of God sanctifies us. Sanctification is the ongoing process of God working in your life. So as he prunes things in our lives, he's dealing with things in our lives. We could praise him for dealing with things in our lives. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to condemn ourselves. We don't have to be like, oh my goodness, those people that used to beat themselves with sticks in the Bible. They were, I can't think of the name. I told my wife the name of it this morning. It's not Gnostics. Gnostics. Gnostics used to beat themselves. They used to torture and cut themselves because they think the body was evil. And they think they had to do that stuff to get in order to be right with God. It's paganism. It's God that works and produces his fruit in you. Don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to go say, Lord, I'm a failure. I'm this or that. You don't have to put a pity party on it. You can say, Lord, I've blown it. But Lord, I don't desire to stay here anymore. Lord, I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to learn to trust you and to be reliant on you, to be dependent on you, to allow you to work in my life. Help me to surrender this in my life. Help me to be utterly repentant. And to rely on you, to trust you that you're doing this work in me. Because your word says you're sanctifying me. He's sanctifying me. So how many times do we get down upon ourselves? How many times do we beat ourselves up? Does the word of God say to do that? What does the word of God say? What does he require? Repent. Trust. Rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anywhere in there you need to beat yourself up, condemn yourself. Was it Romans 8:1? It says there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Who condemns you? If you allow him to. We see how God wants his children to recognize they don't have to beat themselves up when they fail, but we need to repent, get right with him, to rely on him, to trust him, to depend on him. So we live a life that is surrendered to him. The Lord changes this behavior in us. And you trust in him to take away these desires and this behavior so that he can produce godly character in your life. You know how one way to get out of a bad habit? You have to, well, yeah. But if I'm going to say, I learned this one. It's like, before I get mad, I'm going to blow it. Count to 10. I don't always do it. Take a breath. Step away. Because sometimes in the heat of the moment, we just like to blow it. It's like a tea kettle. Right? But it's say, Lord, I desire that you produce this new behavior. Maybe it's to count to 10. Maybe step out of the room for 10 seconds to come back. Before you know it, eventually, it's less and less. But you change, your reaction to that is different. What's Hebrews? We'll finish with this. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. I think it's 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but with our all points tempted as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. So in your time of need, do not depend on yourself. Our reliance on Him should be first. Do I go to the Lord first? Do I go, right? That's where I need to go, to Him first. Then I'm supposed to go to the throne. Come boldly. To come boldly. Not like hiding, but come boldly. Go up to the throne of God and say, Lord, I'm coming to you because I need help. I want to rely on you to help me through this. Lord, I want to be dependent on you so that your fruit would be produced in my life, that I become more like Christ and less like me. Just dying to old. Right? I don't know, hopefully that made sense. I think too often that we depend on ourselves. We pray to God last. If we want to be honest about that. But He desires for us to go to Him, to have reliance on Him, dependence on Him. To go to Him, to go to the throne boldly, to run to our Father. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't want this. I want this to be cut off in my life. Whatever branch needs to be cut off, Lord, please cut it off. So that I'd be able to produce more of your fruit in my life. So that I would fall more in love with you. That I could praise you more easily than I do now. So what are we thankful for? Is there one thing that you're thankful for today? Other than salvation. What's one other thing you're thankful for today that the Lord is doing in your life? Because I believe that we're all saved here, so it's salvation that I know we're thankful for. But what other thing are we thankful for right now? That we could praise the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm thankful for this today. We should have one at least. Good health.
I'm thankful
And the, yeah, they know it as we read and rest, we go into Romans 1:8. Paul was so thankful for the church of Rome because of their faithfulness. He wanted to be encouraged. How we come together as a family, we encourage one another to grow in the faith, right? We're like-minded. We desire to really seek to desire the Lord more and more all the time. We're here to encourage one another, to build one another up in the faith, to help one another. Yeah. What else are you thankful for? Oh, I don't know. What am I going on? I'm thankful for when God's faithful, even when I'm not. Right? He's always faithful, even when I'm not. Thankful for that. Thankful that for many things. There's numerous things for family, for good friends, loved ones. A God that, you know, a personal God. He's a very personal God, desires us to grow. He's so personal. My hope is that we recognize that more, that we run into Him more first than anything. Allow Him to produce in us what needs to be produced, to be cut out what needs to be cut out. You know, it's just, yeah. Since Eric's thankful for lunch, I mean breakfast, dinner, and all the food groups. So, yeah. So we'll close and we'll just pray for people in Israel. Pray for the Hamas and pray for all those people that are going against Israel. Right? Pray for our enemies. Right? It's easy to pray for the ones that are not our enemies, but we need to pray for our enemies. Yeah. The innocent. Civilians, right, who are caught in the middle, because that's the tragedy of it all, is always going to be innocent blood spilled. Right, and that, we thank you that we'd be thankful in so many things. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's doing the work in our lives. We thank you, Paul, that you are placed us where we are at today. Lord, that you're in control of our lives. And so, Lord, we lift up Israel today to you. Pray for all the people who have been massacred. Lord, we pray for their families. We pray for all the people who have been injured on both sides. All the people in the Gaza Strip have been injured. People in southern Lebanon have been injured. And Israel have been injured. Father, we just pray for your peace. We pray, Father, that you bring conviction to those who come against Israel. I pray, Father, those who have such hatred and resentment to the Israelis, Father, that you convict them. Father, I just pray that people from the Hamas and Hezbollah and all those others will come. Actually, Lord, that you would visit them in dreams, even visions. Lord, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, that there's nothing impossible for you to do. You can do it all, Lord. So, Lord, thank you that you're the God of the impossible to us. But that you can do it. So, Lord, I just pray for those who do not know you. Father, they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And, Father, that more souls will go to heaven instead of hell. So, Lord, I just pray this will not escalate, but we know things will eventually there. But Lord, I just do pray that more and more people come to know you as Lord and Savior before this, before that Ezekiel 38 was. So Lord, I pray for the lost. Lord, I just pray that even today as we go home and be with friends and family, Lord, that we would exhibit the life of Christ to them. Father God, that more of your fruit would be exhibited in our own lives. How we act, react, how we speak, how we talk. Father, that we'd be saturated in your word. That you would, your word be on our tongues. And Lord, that we would speak of you. Father, that we would speak of you just like if you were right there. You are, you're right there. But as you are physically there, that we could just say, this is why I'm so thankful. So Lord, let our speech be saturated with you. So Lord, as we pray for those who aren't here today, I pray, Father, you would bless them, encourage and strengthen them, let them be a blessing where they're at. Thank you, Lord, that you are amazing God, amazing personal Lord, the Savior, Redeemer, our hope, us, the one that gives us joy, who satisfies us, who sustains us, and who fills us. Thank you for the freedom we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.